100 years ago today, one of the oldest radio stations in the world was born, WWV. It's a part of the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which is America's keeper of many measures. And for a long time, generations really, WWV has been telling the time down to the second.
At the tone, 18 hours, 1 minute, coordinated universal time.
KUNC military and investigative reporter Michael DeJuana attended the anniversary celebration earlier today, and he joins us now with more on that and to tell us how WWV in Fort Collins could one day save the world. Bold statement there, Michael, especially considering few people have probably ever heard of WWV.
Yes, I'm confident in reporting that after my conversations with military and federal officials. Also, to ham radio operators who pick up the high frequency or shortwave, WWV is known around the world.
So I'm a little lost here. How can a station that tells us the time save the world?
Well, a little-known network took part in a live exercise with military, state, and county emergency officials across the country.
Your attention, please. The Tennessee National Guard and Tennessee Emergency Management.
In Tennessee,
communications exercise
in Ohio, and beyond.
Okay, that sounds pretty grainy.
Well, it's old school radio. Those recordings were provided to me by U.S. Northern Command in Colorado Springs. That's the military command in charge of Homeland Security.
Oh, so this is where you get into the saving the world part.
Yes. All those radio operators are part of a safety net in the event of a disaster, like, for instance, an electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear attack. I asked the chief of the Army's Military Auxiliary Radio System, which they call MARS, about this. His name is Paul English, and he gave the example of a catastrophe where the sun releases a mass of plasma with a magnetic field.
There have been instances where those coronal mass ejections could be so large that they have an adverse impact on electronics and communications.
Adverse impact on electronics. So like mobile phones?
Exactly. Computer screens going blank, vehicles that don't run, disruptions to banking, food and fuel supplies. It's an apocalyptic scenario.
And that's where our MARS operators will reach out to the amateur radio community, you know, located throughout the country, and just ask some simple questions.
Like, what are the lines like at hospitals? How are the roads? And so on. It's what the military calls situational awareness.
So what does all of that have to do with WWV?
Well, English put it this way.
With their high-power transmitters, we would look at WWV as a source to get out information.
So WWV has a role in assisting disaster and emergency preparedness and response with its broadcasts if needed. The test process with the military's MARS program began this year. Broadcasts in 37 states, 9 countries.
Mm. As we mentioned, you went to the 100th anniversary event for WWV. Tell us more about that.
There's an array of tall radio towers tucked away in the farmland north of Fort Collins. Those towers and the station are surrounded by security fences. I had to clear security to get to the celebration. And once inside, I met with Elizabeth Donnelly. She's the chief of the time and frequency division for NIST in Boulder. There's been talk of cuts to NIST, and that could impact the station. I asked her about it.
Over the past few years, there's been some big cuts that were threatened that didn't materialize so far.
And it gets complicated from there. Congress, haggling.
Okay, but these kind of budget concerns, did they get in the way of the celebration? I can't imagine.
No. There was a tent full of dozens of people, from the mayor of Fort Collins to ham radio operators, and a presentation from a MIT scientist, Philip Erickson, who said this old radio technology can be used by scientists around the world to crowdsource studies of our atmosphere.
WWV itself is a very important and future-oriented, by the way, remote sensing tool, much more than the convenient way to set a watch. For us, it's a real way to increase understanding of upper atmosphere variations, which are labeled space weather.
That sounds like way more science than we have time to get into right now. But before you go, I do want to touch on the history of WWV. How did it end up that Fort Collins is home to such an important station.
WWV got its start in Washington, D.C. by test broadcasting Friday evening concerts. Woodrow Wilson was president at the time, and it was a revolutionary idea. Later, the station provided agriculture reports. Eventually, it evolved into a station for standards, for example, broadcast frequencies, so radio operators could calibrate their radios. And those pulses are seconds, as some say, the heartbeat of the electromagnetic spectrum. They've been part of the broadcast since 1937, and an announcer stating the exact time was added in 1950, and that's linked to NIST's super accurate clock. Since 1966, the station has been located in Fort Collins.
One last thing before we go here. I did wonder about the military auxiliary radio system, the MARS program that you mentioned. What I really want to know is, are the MARS operators called Martians?
You know, I asked the Army's Paul English about that. Here's what he said.
A common question, no, we like to call them Mars auxiliaries because they are an auxiliary component to the Department of Defense.
All right. Michael DeJuana, thanks for sharing with us.
You're welcome.
If you want to learn more about the WWV radio in Fort Collins and the military's Mars program, visit KUNC.org.